Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, August 27th, 2023, Romans.
All right, one announcement before we get started. There will be a teachers' meeting Tuesday night after class to discuss the next lessons. Teachers' meeting Tuesday night after class. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God this morning to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, the great chapter on the baptism of the Spirit. A unique doctrine for this dispensation. One that absolutely must be totally understood, because we live in the most unique dispensation in human history, the church age. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. This gives us the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now, you can do a right thing. Worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have preserved for us the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your Word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Romans chapter 6, we'll start the corrected translation at verse 1. Therefore, what are we to say, or what are we to conclude? Are we to continue in the sphere of the sin nature for the purpose that the grace of God might increase? Meganoita, emphatically not. We who have died to the sin nature, the baptism of the Spirit, and retroactive positional truth, How can we live by the power of the sin nature any longer? Or are you ignorant? Sad to say, but many of the believers were ignorant. Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, the baptism of the Spirit, have been baptized into his death? Retroactive positional truth. Therefore, we have been buried together with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, by means of baptism, the baptism of the Spirit, into death, retroactive positional truth. For the purpose that just as Christ was raised out from the dead, by means of the glory, the omnipotence of the Father, so also we, royal family of God, might live in newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have become intimately united with him in the likeness of his death, first class condition, and we have through the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth, certainly we shall also be intimately united with him in the likeness of his resurrection through the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth. Now, in Romans 6, verses 6 through 8, we have the implications of positional truth. Romans 6, verses 6 and 7, the implications of retroactive positional truth. And Romans 6, verse 8, the implications of current positional truth. We were just getting started in the implications of retroactive positional truth in Romans 6, verse 6. And Romans 6, 6 says, in corrected translation, and keep on knowing this, that our old man, the Pelias Anthropos, that's your sin nature, has been crucified together with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, retroactive positional truth, for two purposes. For purpose number one of retroactive positional truth, for the purpose that the body of sin, the sin nature, might be rendered powerless. And purpose number two of retroactive positional truth, for the purpose that we should no longer be slaves to the sin nature. Well, at that point, we stop to take a look at the doctrine of the sin nature, and we got all the way to the last point, the conclusion. And we are in the middle of the conclusion. We studied the first four points in the conclusion. Subpoint one, God created man as a perfect creature, and therefore God did not create the sin nature. By his very essence, God cannot sin. God cannot tempt to sin. God cannot solicit to sin. And then subpoint two, sin originated in the human race through the negative volition of the first man, Adam. Now Satan is the original sinner and the author of sin. He tempted the woman in the garden. So solicitation to sin came from Satan, the original sinner. The woman was tempted, and then after she sinned, she then tempted the man after her fall. And Adam, from his own free will, knowing exactly what he was doing, manufactured the sin nature by rejecting the divine authority, the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came in the cool of the evening every day in the garden and taught the Word of God. He rejected the divine authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. He violated the divine prohibition from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. And the day you eat of it, dying spiritual death, you will die physical death. So by so doing, the moment that Adam sinned, he manufactured the sin nature which contaminated his body and made his body a body of corruption. Because the man's sin was in awareness, he knew exactly what he was doing, he is the one who transmits the sin nature, 1 Timothy 2, verse 14. That was subpoint 3. Subpoint 4, both original parents were under condemnation and spiritual death. Both were guilty, but the sin nature is transmitted through the man because his was a transgression of awareness, while the woman's sin was done through deception. That brings us to subpoint 5, where we'll start this morning. Subpoint 5 of our conclusion. The sin nature does not and cannot please God. The sin nature does not and cannot please God. Turn over to Romans 8:8. Romans 8:8. Romans 8:8. And those, and this is emphasizing those of you who are believers in Jesus Christ, who are controlled by the sin nature, you cannot please God. Now there are lots and lots of Christians, unfortunately, today and in America, who are living their life controlled by the sin nature. Oh, they're nice people. They're nice people. They're sweet people. They're always doing good things, good works. But they are living their life controlled by the sin nature. They have no idea. They have no interest in God, no interest in the Word of God. They have know nothing about the unique spiritual life of the church age. They know nothing about the indwelling and filling of the Spirit, and that the spiritual life is a supernatural way of life and demands supernatural power for its execution. They don't live their life by the power of the Spirit of God. They live their life controlled by the sin nature. And they're nice, and they're sweet, and they do human good and evil. And that characterizes America today. And they are the problem in this country. They are the problem. They think they're great. Yeah, the Henderson team lost. They're not in the Little League World Series anymore. But I'm still going to use this anyway. We have a sin nature with an area of weakness, and that produces personal sins, and personal sins don't please God. I think most of you can figure that one out. Sin nature has an area of strength. The area of strength produces human good. Human good, dead works. And that human good does not please God at all. Cannot please. Does not please God. Cannot please God. And they're nice and they're sweet. God is way, way, if they're way down here is where God is. The Word of God, forget it. Don't even bother me with the Word of God. Growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, never going to happen. They have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. They're born again. They're going to be in heaven forever and ever. But they're living their life controlled by the sin nature. And as Romans 8:8 says, and those who are controlled by the sin nature cannot please God. And here we have all of these people, all these Christians in America, operating by their sin nature, and they do not please God at all. Now we also have lust. All these lust patterns. And lust is behind it's behind all of the personal sins you commit. It's also behind the human good that you produce and the evil you produce. That's all related to the lust patterns of the sin nature. But this is so important to understand. The sin nature does not and cannot please God. And sad to say, we're living in times of apostasy and degeneracy. We have all these Christians that don't give a damn about God and don't give a damn about the Word of God. They have no idea what the spiritual life is. They are not living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. They are living their life controlled by the sin nature. And they cannot please God. They have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. They're going to live with God forever in heaven. But they cannot please God. Neither personal sins, nor acts of human good, nor function of evil are in any way related to God or the unique spiritual life of the church age that has been given to us. So subpoint 5, the old sin nature does not and cannot please God. Subpoint 6, the sin nature is the source of temptation. But human volition is the source of sin. The sin nature is the source of temptation. But human volition, human free will, is the source of sin. The sin nature cannot succeed apart from one's consent. You have to say yes to the temptation to sin. So the sin nature is the source of temptation, but human volition is the source of sin. Subpoint 7. The volition guards the gate of the soul from the sin nature's temptations. The volition guards the gate of the soul from the sin nature's temptations. And therefore, no one ever sins apart from his own consent, the function of his own free will. Sure, temptations are going to keep coming up to the guardian of the soul, your volition, your free will. All you have to say is no. Great word, no. Not well, K-N-O-W, that's a good no also. No Bible doctrine. Then you might try believing Bible doctrine. Then here's the hard part, applying Bible doctrine. Start living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Subpoint 7. Again, the volition guards the gate of the soul from the sin nature's temptation. And therefore, no one ever sins apart from his own consent or function of his free will. Subpoint 8. Whether sins of awareness or sins of ignorance, the volition of the soul is involved in every sin. And therefore, ignorance is no excuse before God. Now you kind of understand this. You're out there, you're in your car, you're driving down the street, you get pulled over. And the highway patrol, the police officer says, "You were going. Do you know what the speed limit is here?" "No, officer." "It's 30. You were going 50 in a 30. "I had no idea the speed limit was 30. "Well, it is, and here's a ticket for going 50. Ignorance is no excuse. Well, it's the same way with God. Whether sins of awareness or sins of ignorance, the volition of the soul is involved in every sin, and therefore ignorance is no excuse. So point nine. While the sin nature is located in the body, it must penetrate the soul for sin to be produced. While the sin nature is located in the body, it must penetrate the soul for sin to be produced. And this cannot be done without human volition's consent. Subpoint 10. When the sin nature's temptations become sin through human consent, the sin nature not only controls your soul, but now the believer is living in Satan's cosmic system as well. When the sin nature's temptations become sin through human volition, the sin nature not only controls your soul, but now you are living in Satan's cosmic system as well. Subpoint 11, therefore, the sin nature is Satan's inside agent recruiting for the cosmic system. The sin nature is Satan's inside agent recruiting for the cosmic system. And he's done a great job. That's where most believers today are living. They're living in Satan's cosmic system. They are not living the unique spiritual life. Most of them don't even know what the spiritual life is. So Romans 6:6 again says, and keep on knowing this, that our old man, Pelias Anthropos, the sin nature, has been crucified together with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, retroactive positional truth, for the purpose that, purpose number one of retroactive positional truth, that the body of sin, the sin nature, might be rendered powerless. And then purpose number two of retroactive positional truth, for the purpose that we should no longer be slaves to the sin nature. Now we continue with the implications of retroactive positional truth in verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. This is the post-positive conjunction gar plus the articular aorist active participle of apothenesko plus the perfect passive indicative of dikaiao plus the prepositional phrase apa plus the genitive singular of hamartia with the definite article. Gar. G-A-R. Gar. And gar is an explanatory gar. And the explanatory gar may be translated, for instance, for you see, for it should be obvious, for you should understand. Any of these work? For instance, for you see, for it should be obvious, for you should understand. The Apostle Paul uses the explanatory gar to explain what he just taught in verse 6. And then we have the verb apothenesko. A-P-O-T-H-N. Long E-S-K long O. Apothenesko. Now literally, apothenesko refers to physical death. But it's not used figuratively in our verse. In our verse, it's used figuratively and refers to retroactive positional truth. Identification with Christ in his death and burial through the baptism of the Spirit of salvation and faith in Jesus Christ. The aorist tense is a constative aorist viewing the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth in its entirety. The active voice, the church age believer, performs the action of the verb, retroactive positional truth and baptism of the Spirit through his faith in Jesus Christ, the moment of salvation. The articular participle is substantival. That means it functions as a noun and is correctly translated, he who has died, retroactive positional truth, or the one who has died, retroactive positional truth. We'll translate it, the one who has died. So the corrected translation, for the one who has died, retroactive positional truth. Then we have the perfect passive indicative of dikaiō. D-I-K-A-I-O long O. Dikaiō. And I know you're out there going, I know that one. Dikaiō. To justify. To declare righteous. Yes, it does mean that, but it doesn't mean that here. So you see, I just had to knock it. Knock you off the ladder. And I know there's a Romans, Paul spent a lot of time on teaching justification by faith in Romans chapter 3. But that's not how it's used in Romans chapter 6 by the Apostle Paul. So we better take a look. A dikaiō, first of all, it can mean to justify, to vindicate, to declare one to be righteous. At the moment of salvation, faith in Christ, God the Father imputes his righteousness to you and declares you to be righteous, justified, vindicated. That's justification by faith. That's phase one justification. And that's the verb dikaiō. And Paul used that again and again and again and again in Romans chapter 3. In case you forgot that, we were just in Romans 3 5 years ago. What are you talking about? Turn over to Romans 3. Romans 3. Let's start at verse 21. Romans 3:21. But now, a righteousness from God, apart from the works of the law, has been made known, to which the law, the Torah, and the prophets, the Nevi'im, two parts of the Hebrew Scriptures, testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. At that very moment of faith in Christ, God imputes his righteousness to you and declares you to be righteous, justified. Comes how? By works? No, by faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory, the righteousness of God, and are justified freely by his grace. That's justified. That's dikaiō. And are declared righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him to be a hilasterion, the mercy seat, the place of propitiation, through faith in his blood, his salvation work on the cross. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be righteous and the one who declares righteous, dikaiō, declares righteous those who have faith in Jesus. So there's our word dikaiō again, verse 27. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on the basis of faith. For we maintain that a man is dikaiō'd, justified, declared righteous by faith apart from observing the works of the law. So here he uses dikaiō again and again and again, and it's always the first meaning, and used this all throughout Romans 3, justification by faith. To justify, to vindicate, to declare one to be righteous. Now that is definitely one of the main uses of this word dikaiō. But point two, in Romans chapter 6, Paul uses dikaiō in a different sense. Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, when you want to check this out when you go home, get that out. Pages 196 and 197 says that dikaiō has another meaning, and it means to make free, to be set free, to become free. To make free, to be set free, to become free. The perfect tense is a dramatic perfect. It is used to describe a fact in an unusually vivid and realistic way. The passive voice is the voice of grace at salvation, faith in Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth. By the grace and power of God, the believer has been freed. He has been dikaiō'd. He has been freed from the power of the sin nature. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic fact of the God-breathed scriptures. And then we have the preposition apa. A-P-O, apa. And apa is a preposition of separation. It means from, it means away from, it means separated from. And what are you separated from? Hamartia in the singular. Now that we've studied the doctrine of the sin nature, you got this down. Hamartia. One of the synonyms for the sin nature, hamartia in the singular, refers to the sin nature. So the corrected translation, for the one who has died, retroactive positional truth, has been freed, dikaiō, has been freed from, separated from, the power of the sin nature. All right. See, isn't that great? You learned a new meaning of dikaiō. Very good. One, as unbelievers, we were slaves to Satan as the ruler of planet Earth. As unbelievers, we were slaves to Satan as the ruler of planet Earth. And we were slaves to the sin nature as the ruler of human life. So as unbelievers, we were slaves to Satan as the ruler of this world, and we were slaves to the sin nature as the ruler of human life. Two, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, we were freed from both. Dikaiō. At the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, we were freed from both. Through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, retroactive and current positional truth. So at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, we were freed from both through the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive and current positional truth. Three, Romans 6 verse 7 emphasizes our being freed from the power of the sin nature as the ruler of human life. Romans 6, verse 7, our verse emphasizes our being freed from the power of the sin nature as the ruler of human life. This is the emphasis of Paul's teaching in Romans chapter 6. For our being freed from the power of Satan as the ruler of this world is taught by Paul in Ephesians and in Colossians. But Romans 6 is emphasizing our being freed from the sin nature as the ruler of human life. So again, our being freed from the power of Satan as the ruler of this world is taught by Paul in Ephesians and Colossians. 5. Positionally, the power of the sin nature has been broken. Wahoo! You now, potentially, in your experience, can live in spiritual freedom. You can live the spiritual life in spiritual freedom. You can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You can glorify God to the maximum in your life, here in time, and forever and ever for all eternity. So positionally, the power of the sin nature has been broken. Six, experientially, we can put ourselves back into slavery. We can put ourselves back under the control of the sin nature and back into slavery by sinning. So positionally, the power of the sin nature has been broken, but experientially, we can put ourselves by our own free will right back into slavery and back under control of the sin nature by our own bad decisions to sin. 7. Experientially, when the guardian of our soul, human volition, succumbs to temptation from the sin nature, experientially, when the guardian of our soul, human volition, succumbs to temptation from the sin nature and commits personal sin, we put ourselves back into slavery to the sin nature. We put ourselves back into slavery to the sin nature. You can't blame anybody else. Can't blame your mother or your father or the nurse in the hospital that dropped you on your head, or you can't blame Pastor Olson. There's nothing wrong. There are a lot of people who blame Pastor Olson for all kinds of things. Big deal. I got big shoulders. Although I've been losing weight, been losing so much weight, my shoulders are not as big as they used to be, and now my pants fall off. I've turned into a frog. I have no hind end anymore. And Thursday night, my pants fell down two or three times. I had to keep pulling them up and pulling them up. That's no extra charge for that. So if you see me going down and... So experientially, when the guardian of our soul, human volition, succumbs to temptation from the sin nature and commits personal sin, we put ourselves back into slavery to the sin nature. 8. Instead of being filled with the Spirit, we are now grieving the Holy Spirit and or quenching the Holy Spirit. Instead of being filled with the Spirit, instead of being empowered by God the Holy Spirit and living the spiritual life, now we're grieving the Holy Spirit, quenching this Holy Spirit. Now we're living in Satan's cosmic system. 9. Now, are you stuck there? No. God in His magnificent grace has given us a problem-solving device. We, in fact, rebound. The Colonel called it rebound. Rebound. 1 John 1:9. You simply acknowledge your sins to God. You're forgiven and cleansed, restored to fellowship with God, filling of the Spirit and your spiritual life. So Romans 6:7, for the one who has died, retroactive positional truth, has been freed, dikaiō, and its other major meaning, has been freed from the power of the sin nature. All right, now that brings us to verse 8 and the implications of current positional truth. Romans 6, verse 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, nothing like the King James, if we be dead. Now, if we be dead with Christ, this is the post-positive conjunction death plus the conditional particle AE with the aorist active indicative apothenesco, again, plus the prepositional phrase soon and the dative singular of Christos. All right, the post-positive conjunction death. And again, you're sitting there, I know that means but. Well, it does, but it doesn't mean that here. If it's a conjunction of contrast, it means but. But here, it is not. It's a transitional conjunction. It may be translated and, moreover, then, or now. We'll translate it now. And then we have the conditional particle A with the indicative. A plus the indicative. Looks like that in the Greek and in the English. A plus the indicative introduces a first-class condition. Now, if we have died with Christ, first-class condition, and we have, through the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth, the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth is true of every church age believer. And then the verb apothenesco again. Which we've already had. And it's repeated once again, emphasizing retroactive positional truth being identified with Christ in His death and burial, through the baptism of the Spirit of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. Once again, the aorist tense is a constative aorist, viewing the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth in its entirety. The active voice, God the Holy Spirit, performs the action of retroactive positional truth through the baptism of the Spirit at the very moment that we believe in Jesus Christ. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting the retroactive positional truth of the church age believer as an absolute truth of the Word of God. And then this time, the preposition soon. S-U-N, soon. And soon means with. And then we have proper noun, Christos. C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S. Christos. Christos is transliterated Christ. It means the anointed one. It's equivalent to the Hebrew Mashiach, Messiah. The dative case of Christos is the dative of association. There is no definite article with Christos, and when there's no definite article, this puts the spotlight on Christ. It emphasizes the uniqueness of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. This emphasizes His hypostatic union, undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. Now, if we have died with Christ, first class condition, and we have, through the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth, Then we have, we believe that we shall also live with him. Wahoo. And we're going to take a break, give you a chance to go outside and cool down, and then come back for part two.